Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Are signs and wonders still for today? We are looking at one of the most important subjects, I believe, that we're dealing with in the church today, with the whole movement, the charismatic movement, and all of the strange phenomenons that have happened in the church that have taken away from the authority of Scripture and a love for the Word of God. We need to be more zealous for the Lord's Word and wanting to hear it proclaimed to us. I remember and I think a lot about when I was studying John and how affected I was when Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. We don't want to be like that. This is such an important subject for the church today, and that's why I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 can really help us to understand the design and ministry of the church, what the Lord put in place, and that we would avoid the errors of the Corinthians. That's why these are given to us. All things are written as examples to us, so that we would not do these things that they did. And that's so important to say in this context. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook, and do please download our apps, both for Android and for your Apple phone. They're on the website, so you can take Abounding Grace with you wherever you go. We would love to hear from you. So thankful that you are listeners to Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for being an encouragement to us. Here is part two of the message, Our Signs and Wonders for Today, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we hope this helps you to think through this important issue so that we would give all of our devotion to the Lord and His Word, where we find His wonderful announcement of salvation given to us. We have everything we need, the Lord says, in that Word for a life of godliness. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace. Here is now that message from 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Today, you're not seeing us laying hands on new apostles. You're not seeing prophets in the old apostolic manner. You're not seeing that happen. People may try to do that, but there's no New Testament warrant for that. They passed. They fulfilled a purpose. Now, that's not as controversial, I don't think. That part's not as controversial. But it's important to say, because these guys could do remarkable things. Just listen to this in Acts. This is Acts 5. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Acts 19. Now, God worked unusual miracles by Paul, by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, I just love this verse. It's just always amazed me. Handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. God used all of these extraordinary gifts, didn't he, in the early church to do what? Confirm the message and the gospel going out. God did something wonderful to get it launched. After the resurrection, after Pentecost, what would happen if Peter had the ability? Think about it. What would happen, you know, if Pastor Gordon had the ability tonight to start giving sight? You ever thought about that? What would happen if Pastor Gordon had the ability to pull out couches out in the parking lot and start healing? You think we'd need a bigger building? Oh, you wouldn't. You would have no idea. We would need a really big building, by the way. Would people come for the word? Would they want to hear me preach? Would the temptation be to make it a show? Would they want the word? The sad part is that even though these extraordinary gifts were used for a time and God allowed it, they caused major problems in the life of the early church. I mean, major problems. And they caused major problems for Jesus too. People were following them for all the wrong reasons. Remember Simon the sorcerer? Simon helped. Simon himself, Acts 8, believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Wow, that is really neat. And when Simon saw, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Good grief. You could get the Spirit to come? He offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter was beside himself. What a mess. How did that happen? Jesus dealt with this constantly in the Gospels. If you want to see it, it's a big issue in John's Gospel, where the history of Israel had a long problem with this, where anyone who could charm them with lying signs and lying wonders, anyone who said any kind of message they want and then accompanied it with false promises, they were attracted to smooth words. They were easily attracted to what there was delightful to see. And Jesus was the hometown hero when he came back to the hometown to do this stuff. They wanted a show from Jesus. Jesus saw right through it. Think of John 2. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knew it was all artificial. He knew they weren't there for the right reasons. He knew they wanted a show, so much so that by John 4, he throws down a severe indictment. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Whoa. And he had just commended the Samaritans for hearing the word with no sign. I believe it's in Calvin's Institutes in the early part to the French King, where Calvin in his day was being challenged. Where are all your miracles? Where's your stuff? There's nothing to validate what you're doing. And he says, it's in the word. That was the time that God gave it. That's when we needed it. But we have everything we need in the Bible. The only reason God allowed this stuff in the first place was to confirm the word. Their aim was to preach and teach, and the supernatural gifts were merely there at the beginning. The extraordinary gifts were merely there at the beginning to confirm the message as it took off to the ends of the earth. And by the time you're at the end of Acts, it's already dying out. Now, here's what I believe you had in Corinth. Everyone's desiring this stuff. In other words, it was chaotic. The word was not the focus. And gifts were being abused by people who didn't even have them. And they're trying to do them. And they're drawing away, as Paul says, many disciples after themselves. He warned about that. But here's my point. God didn't just allow anything to take place in the early church. This was the problem. Even these extraordinary gifts were permitted for a time, but it was all regulated. Now, that's a really important point tonight. It was all regulated. What do I mean? Paul is explaining in this entire section that there is an authority structure put in place for these extraordinary offices. And you'll see that here, that they weren't taking seriously whatsoever. It seems that, and others have made this point, that there were two authority structures in the early church. You had the extraordinary offices, and then you had more of the ordinary offices that would give way to that we know today. And there was a government for each. Everything he's dealing with in Corinth has to do with the abuse of the extraordinary offices while they existed among them. If you get that tonight, I really believe everything else that follows will make sense. Look again at verse 28. First there were apostles, then prophets, then teachers, and then he stops. And he doesn't mention pastors, elders, and deacons. What does he do? He switches right after mentioning these extraordinary offices, and he links together the extraordinary offices with the extraordinary gifts. Did you see that? That belonged to the era. Then miracles. Whoa. You just talked about offices. Now you're talking about gifts. That doesn't make sense. Well, it does make sense. He says, there were these, and then he links them right together with their problem. Miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. You had prophets in the early church who were able to preach in remarkable ways to show Christ in the Old Testament and make him known. You had apostles who established the word, established the churches after Pentecost. You had these teachers who were remarkable catechists in the early church, remarkable instructors in the word. And what Paul is doing is tying all of these really extraordinary gifts to them. That's really important. Really important. Do you know why that's important? That means that when you have gifts of helps and administrations along with healings, miracles, and tongues, he's explaining there was oversight and there was authority over this. Put it in this way. It was not willy-nilly whoever felt spiritual, whoever was led by the Spirit to give a word. No. Whoever got up in the moment couldn't just do whatever they wanted to do. And that alone eliminated 99% of the problem in Corinth. I believe that. If that's accepted. Just like today, not everyone's a pastor. Not everyone's an elder. Not everyone has the gift to be a deacon. So too, not everyone had the gifts with being an apostle. Not everyone had the gifts of being a prophet. Not everyone had the gifts of being a teacher, a catechist in the early church. So if this was in our context, it would be like somebody saying, well, I can be a pastor. I can baptize. We can go out and I can give the supper. I can administer the sacraments. It's for everyone. What would that create? Chaos. That would create utter chaos. And wherever that's gone on, it's created that. Not just anyone can teach today. We all know that would be disastrous if we just let anyone who felt moved by the Spirit to teach start teaching in the church. Do you know what you end up with? Harold Camping. Women claimed to be prophets and started speaking. Paul will address that. They don't have that right. People started speaking gibberish. Paul will address that. People started claiming gifts of healings and miracles who didn't have it. Paul will address that. That's one of my greatest complaints about the whole tongue speaking thing today, is that it comes, and if it were still, we accepted that if it were still in place, and if it were still a continuing gift today, it looks nothing like what it should look like. It's gibberish. Tongue speaking in the early church were known languages. It's anyone who feels moved to do it, and if it were still in place, it would only have been tied to apostles and prophets. But they're not in existence. So everything that they're doing is against what Paul is promoting here about order and value of the Word of God. And so he says that in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer? No, you know that. So in the early church, not everyone possessed these things. It was very rare in the early church, to be honest with you. I think that's what we forget. This stuff was rare in the early church. And they were given for a specific purpose, for a specific moment, and nothing was ever to detract or confuse the worship of God or undermine the Word of God, which is what was going on. So if you see and accept that tonight, that the extraordinary gifts were tied to extraordinary offices, well, then that will answer whether we believe these things are still active in the church today. Who usually claims to have direct communications with God? Those strange people. You know, I had on a tablet, the angel Moroni gave me direct revelation, you know, and now we have another testament of Jesus, don't we? That's Mormon. You could go right down the line. Those who claim to do healings, those who claim to speak in tongues, those who claim to be spiritual. If it were in place today, let's say tongue speaking, where would you find it? You'd find it among, well, if it were, the pastors. But again, it's tied to extraordinary offices. So it wouldn't work. What we need to know is that there is a closed canon. We have something that has been handed to us from God. And it makes known everything you need to know. We have the Word. And anything that anyone claims beyond that is, this is so important for Christian school students, so important for our students, because we almost universally hear people saying they're getting messages from God. I just watched it on YouTube again the other day. You have everything you need. Those gifts served a specific purpose for a specific time, for specific offices that ceased when the canon was closed. And we're going to look at something that's going to surprise you in chapter 14. But they weren't considering that tongues are also a sign of judgment. Did you notice what gift gets the tail end here of the train, the caboose? Tongue speaking. Paul did that on purpose. In the church, Paul says this in chapter 14, I would rather, listen to this, speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others, than 10,000 words with a tongue. It's profitless. Whatever you're doing with gibberish has no benefit to the common good of the body. Remember the theme here, common good? I'm not promoting gibberish. That profits nothing in the church. Gifts are about the common good. And anyone who prophesies does something far greater for the edification of the body than what these gifts are for. The church must receive edification. And that leads to the sad problem of the little toe, doesn't it? Where's the little toe in all this? Marginalized, pushed to the side, and not valued. Paul's whole point tonight is that God fits together the body not for anyone to just go take glory for himself. Think of this morning. Think of the problem they were stealing from God. To go take glory for himself in drawing attention with his gifts, but to edify the whole, to bless the whole. And that means you are incredibly useful in whatever gift God has given you in his service and in his church. So God has appointed these for edification. These extraordinary gifts, not everyone has them. What then should be our focus? What should be our desire? This is what I'm closing with tonight. Verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, to which you say, what? That doesn't make any sense. That just seems to undermine everything you just said. Well, it depends on how you read it. It's pretty hard to tell the difference between the imperative and the indicative there. It could read, but you desire the best gifts. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Now that seems to fit. This is where all your desire is. But your problem is that you're placing emphasis on what you believe are all the higher gifts. But yet, a far better way I have to show you. Instead, I have a more excellent way. Let me tell you what that excellent way is. Everyone ready for it? Love. Your hearts are all set on that stuff. But let me show you something far greater, more excellent than what you think is all high and mighty. Let all of your activity, all of your service be controlled by one thing. And we won't have any more problems in Corinth. Love. Now, does 1 Corinthians 13 begin to make sense? Let me read it. Just let me read it for a moment. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is, here it is, patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Well, that just takes on every kind of meaning now, doesn't it? It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Here's a way out of your obsession with wanting to be great. Here's a way out of your obsession with being the me generation or the narcissistic generation. Here's a way before God that is greater than anything else. You want to know what it is? Love. Because love, you see, will require in all of your actions, whatever it may be, whatever gifts you have, when it's controlled by that principle, it will require a denial of your self. And the giving of yourself for the spiritual benefit of others. And the fruit of that will never be about you. You see, when Paul began this book by saying there was divisions and everyone was following their own superhero and super pastor, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Jesus, that was really underlining it all, an aspiration in their followers to become great like they were. I think a lot of people today aspire in the church to be something. To be an R.C. Sproul. To be somebody big, to make a real difference. And God's hands of blessing will not be on that. A far greater way is right in front of you. He who desires to be first in the kingdom will be last. A far greater way is to become a servant of all and love fervently with a pure heart. We should pray that we all would realize that whatever God has given us, the greatest is the greatest gift. It is the greatest gift because he's given it to you as he composed you into the body to be a benefit of the whole. And that's a remarkable thing that he gave you a gift. So use it. The way I honor him is to use that in love for the body. That brings the most glory and honor to him and builds up his church and doesn't tear it down. Let's pray and thank him tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that often we are all about us and we're selfish. And you've shown us a way more excellent way tonight. May our eyes be fixed on your word. May our hearts love your word. May we be satisfied with your word. And as we are fed from that word, then would we take what you have given us to edify and to strengthen and to encourage the body for the common good of the whole. Take away all selfish motives and help us to become servants of all, loving fervently with a pure heart that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What shall we render to the Lord for all the benefits? Well, let us take our gifts and use them for your glory and thankfulness for saving us and giving all of your life, Lord Jesus, your whole life, that we might live and become members of your precious, glorious body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.